Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to a very unique episode of The Town Hall. Typically, it's been best practice for us to keep these episodes timeless and evergreen so that they're applicable year-round and you can listen to them in your car or at work whenever you feel like. But with everything going on in our new normal version of this world right now, we'd be remiss if we didn't take a moment to timestamp this weird and crazy period in our world's history. I'm, of course, talking about the coronavirus pandemic, and because of social distancing measures, flight bans, the stay-at-home order, and being pregnant, I am recording this episode sitting on the floor of my husband's closet on a pile of towels to muffle the outside world. Apologies if my dog barks or if the laundry buzzes, but I'm not going to edit that out because it's everyone's reality right now and we're all in it together. The last time I spoke to my guest was last week, Rubicon's Chief Strategy Officer, Michael Allegretti, and he was simultaneously leading a marketing meeting and playing with his kids' Legos. And that's, you know, that's the new work from home life for everyone. It's strange times that we're living in, but I'm excited to have this opportunity for us both to catch up and talk about how this moment in time will indeed shape our business forever. So, Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Amy. Great to reconnect, even if it's remotely.
Before we get into, you know, the real meat of the episode, you do run our New York office. You're in the epicenter of it all. You know, you work out of New York. How are you guys? How are you and your family? How are the Rubicon employees? How's everyone up there doing on day 15 of quarantine?
Well, first and foremost, our Rubicon employees, all of our New York-based employees, myself included, we are all safe and sound. Most of us have left New York City. I'm in the state of Pennsylvania, and I think six or seven are spread across the Northeast down towards the South, back home with family, which is a great place to be at a time like this. But everyone is safe. And, you know, I will say as a lifelong New Yorker, our city has certainly been through its share of massive tragedies, be it 9/11 or Superstorm Sandy, and now this. So we're a tough bunch, and we'll get through it as a city and as a company. I know as well we'll emerge stronger and stronger when this is all said and done.
I believe that. And you've been on the Town Hall before. You've talked about our Rubicon Smart City Tech and your role, which is really leading that team. Rubicon Smart City, by definition, is a technology suite that helps governments run more efficiently. Local governments really need the help right now, to say the least. How do you think Smart City Tech, or even just technology in general, can aid in some of these crisis efforts? How do you think technology will play a role in all of this?
Well, technology, and specifically smart city technology, and Rubicon Smart City being the one that we obviously focus on and care most about, has always been about improving operational efficiency, lowering costs, and creating better quality of life in communities. That continues, but now the focus pivots or is more focused upon building resiliency, helping cities develop redundancy, helping cities operate remotely. And, you know, if you look at our technology in particular, as it relates to waste and recycling fleets, which should be noted are still an essential service. Your garbage truck, your recycling truck is still on the road picking up trash at your home and at those businesses that are still operating. So we're equipping our city partners to be able to maintain those operations and do so from the safety of their homes or their remote work environments. And as I look past the acute moment we're in right now, past the COVID-19 pandemic, I believe strongly that we're going to see more and more cities saying that we need to build in the capacity to have remote work be something that we're able to turn on and off effectively at the flick of a switch. And smart city technologies, be it Rubicons or others, are going to be a key part of that transition of our municipal work environment.
And like you said, no matter how crazy things get during these next few months, I mean, the trash still has to be picked up, you know, like healthcare workers and grocery store clerks and pharmacists and so many other professions that are putting their health and well-being on the line to serve the public. The sanitation worker is also really a hero in all of this. As we learn to function in the COVID-19 era, like you said, what are some things that we can collectively do as a society, whether especially at your home, to help our garbage collectors and other sanitation workers stay safe? I mean, you think about the doctors and nurses that you hear on the news that come home and they have sort of their sanitation protocol. What are some things that we can do on the front end to help protect our neighborhood sanitation workers?
Well, as you know, Amy, at Rubicon, beyond working with our city partners, we also work with a network of over 7,000 independent waste haulers. These are small mom and pop shops up to larger regional waste hauling companies to serve our thousands of customers. So very early on, as this pandemic was beginning to unfold, we thought it was very important to get out clear messaging, not just to our hauler network, but most importantly to our customers and to the public at large about what they could do. And some of these things are common sense. Some of them are very obvious once they're outlined, but no one was really taking the step of articulating those. So what are some of the basics? Well, first and foremost, we can sanitize with a Lysol wipe or some other proven cleaner the lids of our garbage cans and our containers. We can do the same for the handles of those containers. This is particularly important for waste workers who have to physically move a container into the right position to be picked up by a truck. Or in the case of cities that use bags, like my hometown of New York, we can sanitize the outside of that bag for the sake of that worker. We can also do best practices in terms of sorting our waste. And this is good in any time, but in particular right now. Let's make sure that we have the recyclables in the right bin and that we have the regular garbage in the right bin. Let's make sure we tie our bags tightly. And should you have a hole in a bag, use a second bag. While that's not necessarily the best thing for the environment at this moment, it's the best thing for that sanitation worker. And their safety has to be front of mind at all times, especially while they are out there as an essential service, maintaining the public health for all of us.
I mean, as you kind of listed those, it's like, of course, that's what we should be doing. But like you said, we weren't thinking about doing that until it was outlined for us. And another thing that we were thinking to do, especially for our sanitation workers, it's one thing to wipe down a bag. You know, that is essentially what we need to be doing in this moment. But we could do a little bit more. We need to have immense gratitude for our sanitation workers. And Rubicon's actually started a hashtag Hauler Heroes campaign that you were kind of at the forefront of. So tell us a little bit more about it and what people and listeners, young and old, can do to get involved.
Well, this one's close to my heart. As millions of Americans, really millions of citizens around the globe, are adjusting to this new concept of what is a work-life balance. So a work-life balance used to be trying to not work too much and ensure that you took care of yourself and your family. Now a work-life balance is working full-time from home, and if you have children, providing for those children, caring for those children, and educating those children. So, you know, close to home for me, I have a 6-year-old boy and a 2-year-old daughter, and I'm trying my best to provide them with an education related to reading and writing and, you know, arts and crafts and things of that sort. So we said, here's a way that we could both celebrate our haulers, thank them for providing this essential service, and at the same time, provide an activity for parents who are home with young kids looking for things that they could do, both to keep their kids busy and to educate them about the world at large. So the project, hashtag Hauler Heroes, is a social media campaign that is underpinned by an arts and crafts project, whereby families work with their kids to make posters that say thank you to their garbage man, their waste service professional, the garbage woman who comes by and picks up their waste and recycling once a week. And you can affix that sign. You can decorate however you want. You can affix it away from the bin so it doesn't interfere with the collection of the garbage. You can put it on your front door or on a signpost. And we've had seen such an outpouring from the waste service professionals who see these signs and know that the people in their homes or in their those few businesses that are still open recognize that these men and women are still on the front lines while so many of us are social distancing and working from the confines of our home. So it's a feel-good thing, but it's also an educational thing. And we hope to see more and more people take advantage of it.
If you check the Holler Heroes hashtag, you'll see a bunch of signs. You know, you said your kids are going to do it. I don't have kids yet, so my husband and I made one and put it on our front door, and then we actually saw a neighbor did it as well. It's something small that we can do in a time that we feel so helpless, I think. It's something really small, but I think it'll go a long way. Speaking of small but going a long way, this is not a traditional episode. This is what we in the podcasting world call a micropod. It'll end up being about 15 minutes. Michael and I really just wanted to hop on here and talk about some of the ways that we can improve the safety of our sanitation workers. I think that was really the primary message of this episode. But just because it's not the town hall you're all used to doesn't mean that Michael's off the hook. We are going to play a special edition of Rapid Fire today to wrap us up. I'm going to ask you a few rapid fire questions, quarantine edition. And you just say the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready, I think. I don't know. Let's go.
Then you know they're not that bad. Besides the news, what else are you watching?
I am wrapping up the last season of Homeland, and I am on season 6 of The Office, which I started watching from the pilot episode, and it is funnier this time than when I watched it the first time years ago.
I think they just celebrated 15 years. What's the best thing that you've eaten so far this week?
Ooh, that's good. I made pasta. It was amazing with some ricotta cheese and managed to even find a little bit of fresh basil that was left over in our garden.
What does your morning routine look like?
It involves a very early morning wake up by my son Jackson, who runs down the hall, jumps in the bed and says, I'm ready to go. And after a bit of grumbling, we get up and I built a home gym in our home here. So my wife and I trade off going to the gym or going for a run. Then we get the other child up, Olivia, and we start our day by about 7:30 a.m. We're starting to do some homeschool and then roll into breakfast.
Are you reading any books right now?
I am personally not reading any books. If and when I'm able to find the newspaper, that is what I'm doing. But I'm reading lots of books to Jackson and Olivia, including The Berenstain Bears and Transformers and a book called Olivia about a little pig that my daughter Olivia loves.
You said you're in Philly, but obviously you are a New York born and bred. What is one small business, specifically a restaurant, that you want to shout out for people to support during this crisis?
Well, I'm actually, I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm up in Northeast Pennsylvania, not far from Scranton, where the office is filmed. And I'd like to, I want to shout out 2 small businesses if I can. Am I allowed to do that?
You are. Yes, you are my boss. You're allowed to
do that. Okay. I want to shout out the Poorhouse. P-O-U-R. It's a local bar and restaurant that has transformed themselves into providing takeout food and a beer, which with state liquor stores closed, there's lots of folks who are hoping to have the chance to get a drink. And those folks are doing a great job providing a curbside delivery. And they're going to need all the business they can get to get through this. And I want to give a shout out to Skytop Lodge, a larger small business that's currently shuttered and is making due to keep its employees fed and safe throughout this shutdown, which will go through at least April 30th.
A lot of parents, like you said, are helping educate their children right now through homeschooling and a lot of other activities. What's one thing that you have taught your kids or are planning to teach your kids during all of this?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. My son's in a New York City public school, and I want to acknowledge that the city of New York's done an exceptional job providing us as parents with resources to try to educate our children remotely. But beyond that, what I'm trying to do is I'm out at home deep in the woods. So every day I'm taking Jackson and Olivia out on nature walks and trying to educate them about the natural environment and the importance of preserving that environment and how that environment contributes to our quality of life, whether it's, you know, trees helping us breathe by, you know, creating oxygen, running streams and how that, you know, leads to our drinking water. So things like that, things that are obviously basic to you and me, but to a young child, I want them to understand the importance of the environment to maintaining our health and our well-being.
How are you staying connected to family and friends during this time?
Well, like everyone, I think a lot of FaceTime, a lot of text message trails, and I'd say happily a lot of phone calls. You know, we stop calling one another these days, and we text, we email, but I've actually started to pick up the phone again and reconnect with friends and family who I've not spoken to recently, and, you know, gone beyond the superficial and been able to dive in a bit. So I'd say that's one silver lining to this time of social distancing that we're all experiencing, is in that some odd way, while we physically can't be together, we're actually, at least from my experience, connecting on perhaps a better, deeper level than we have recently.
And lastly, what is one thing that you think you'll remember about all this time 20 years from now?
I'll remember my barbecue. As a lifelong New Yorker, we don't have the ability to grill out and, you know, make dinner. And, you know, now it's the 17th straight day of three home-cooked meals and, you know, essentially learning to cook and provide for our family those three square meals has been something notable and different. I'm going to take my prerogative and say I get one other thing. I'm also going to remember this time with my family. It's, you know, it's challenging to balance everything, but it's also very rewarding to have the ability to be one-on-one with your kids for this amount of time, this intimately.
Michael, thank you so much for providing us some insight, some light. And I, you know, short as it is, something I think people will really resonate with during this unprecedented time in history.
Well, Amy, thank you as always for what you do, and stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
For more updates on Rubicon's efforts during COVID-19, check out our blog on the Rubicon website for letters from our CEO, Nate Morris, to both the president and the government and our independent hauler partners, and a listicle of ways that you can help keep sanitation workers protected from the pandemic.